Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. We start with Babul Haid, chapter menstruation. This chapter, it is one of the most important chapters in At-Tahara. They're all important, but this one, subhanallah, it covers so many issues of fiqh. Nearly third of the fiqh related to the issue of menstruation. One would ask why. I say, chapter of salat, chapter of fasting, chapter of hajj, chapter of divorce. All these falls into that. Chapter of nikah. Many chapters of fiqh fall into that chapter. So pay attention to that. First, you need to pay attention because most of you are married and you can teach your wives. In case somebody from your sisters or someone asks you, it is better that a man teaches his mahram than a sister. Sometimes she feels embarrassed of asking a strange sheikh, someone that she does not know, about private issues like that. It's better to ask someone in the family or her husband if he's well acquainted about the topic. But if she does not know, she must ask. And shyness must not stop her from asking, because she could be falling into haram or doing something haram. As you will see, a lot of sisters who are ignorant of some of the issues, you find actually they perform their ibadah wrong. Their salat sometimes it's cancelled out, or some issues when it starts, when it ends and all that, which relate back to their ibadah. And because they didn't ask, they were in big problems. And you would find, and I'll be honest, most of the women are ignorant of the chapter of menses. They do not understand menstruation. They do not understand how it works, when it starts, if it's delayed, what would happen, if there is continuous bleeding, if there is, for example, pregnancy, what is the minimum, what is the maximum. You'll find many women, because no one taught them, and they're just inherited. And that's what, wal'iyadhu billah, is a big problem amongst the women. And they sort of ignorant about it. The husband does not know. She thinks this is the correct opinion. And then it end up in a big disaster on the Day of Judgment. Very important. So, inshallah, the male can teach his wife or the other women in his house. Or the sister has to ask the question. So, inshallah, this couple of lessons about al-hayd would explain the matter properly. You find it is interesting, subhanallah, the whole chapter of Hayd, the hadith that came from the Prophet ﷺ, revolve around three women. Fatima bint Abi Hubaysh, radiallahu anha, Ummu Habiba bint Jahsh, Hamna bint Jahsh. You see those three female companions, they're the one who asked the Prophet ﷺ openly about these issues, and the whole of the Ummah learned from these three female companions. Sometimes questioning is very important, and that teaches others, as you see. Now, Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he said, وَيَمْنَعُ عَشْرَةَ أَشْيَاءٍ. He started his chapter to talk to us about what the menstruation prevents from doing. He said, there are 10 matters. Inshallah, we'll finish the 10 matters today, because a lot of them you'll find a lot of difference of opinion amongst them. Performing the prayer. Fi'lu salat. So it is prohibited, haram, on ha'id, the woman in menses, to pray. It is haram on her to what? To pray. Tayyib. What is the dalil? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, إِذَا أَقْبَلَتِ الْحَيْضَةِ فَضَعِ الصَّلَاةِ. He said, when the haida comes, leave your salat. Do not pray. طيب. Also, وَجُوبُهَا. It stops doing the salat and the obligation of the salat. Pay attention. يَمْنَعُ فِعْلَ الصَّلَاةِ وَوُجُوبَ الصَّلَاةِ. What is the difference between the two? First, he said, it forbids performing the prayer. Secondly, it's obligation. But does menstruation stop the obligation of fasting? It stops doing the fasting, but does not stop the obligation of fasting. Let's fix the riddle. so we can understand it. It's obligation, that means the woman, she is not obligated to pray anymore. So whatever salat she missed during her menses, during her menstruation, during her postnatal bleeding, she does not have to do it after she becomes pure. We understand it. After she becomes pure, she does not have to do it. The dalil, what the Bukhari and Muslim narrated, that an Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, كانت إحدانا تحيض على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. One of us used to fall into or become in a state of height, يعني has her menses, at the time of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. فنؤمر بقضاء الصوم ولا نؤمر بقضاء الصلاة. We used to be ordered to fulfill the siyam, to redo it. We were never ordered to redo the salat. So they used to be ordered to redo the siyam, but not to redo the salat. Of course, some ulama, they have said the reason behind it, because that poses a hardship. So the sharia came to remove the hardship. And that's why the woman in menses, she does not redo the prayer. So, again, menstruation forbids doing the salat, fi'lu salat, and removes the obligation. طيب. Thirdly, وَفِعْلُ الصِّيَامِ Fasting. Doing the fasting. Performing the fasting. It's better in your translation here to write performing the fasting. You see, he number three, he put fasting. Put performing the fasting. So, it forbids performing the fasting. And this is the dalil, the hadith that we mentioned. طيب. Does it forbids its obligation? No. She's still obligated and she has to do the fasting. Now when she has to do the fasting, this is, we'll talk about it in the chapter of fasting. This is number three. What tawaf? Tawaf, he said, it forbids performing the tawaf. She is not allowed to circumambulate around the Kaaba. She's not allowed to circumambulate around the Kaaba. The dalil, also in Bukhari and Muslim, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, لَبَّيْنَا بِالْحَجِّ حَتَّى إِذَا كُنَّا بِسَرَفٍ حِطُّ We have made talbiyah for hajj. What is the talbiyah? Is to say with the intention, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ حَجًّا So she intended with hajj. Until we reach a place called Saraf. فَدَخَلَ عَلَيِّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَأَنَا أَبْكِي The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered upon me whilst I was crying. She was Aisha radiallahu anha. She was crying because she could not do the ibadah. فَقَالَ أَنَا فِسْتِ He said, يعني you started in your menstruation. فَقَالَتْ نَعَمْ She said, yes. قَالَ هَذَا شَيْءٌ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى بَنَاتِ آدَمْ This is something that Allah written it on the daughters of Adam. So there's something you can't help it. Something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you shouldn't be sad about it. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, If Ali ma yaf'alu al-hajj, do everything that the pilgrim would do. Like the sa'i, to go to Mina, to go to Arafat, do whatever you like to do from the rituals of hajj. غَيْرَ أَن لَا تَطُوفِي بِالْبَيْتِ حَتَّى تَطْهُرِي He said here, do not perform tawaf until you become pure. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam strictly drew the line that you're not allowed to do tawaf until you become pure. Now this is the opinion which majority of the ulama on that. Majority of the ulama on that, they said the woman not allowed to do tawaf. Ibn Abd al-Barr. Ibn Rushd, Ibn Hazm, An-Nawawi, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, Was-San'ani fi Subul al-Salam, they all said, narrated that it is consensus amongst the scholars, it is haram for a woman who is in the state of menses to perform tawaf around the Kaaba. Only Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he said, at the time of need and necessity, she can. We're talking about tawaf al-ifadah. When we study the chapter of Hajj, we talk about tawaf al-wada', whether it drops or remains as
a sunnah or an obligation upon her, when we talk about that inshallah in the following, yani when we get the chapter of Hajj.
Second opinion, which is, allows her based on necessity. Yani, let's just say, she haven't done tawaf al-ifadah. She did everything, still remain tawaf al-ifadah. And her group is leaving, the plane is leaving. And you all know, if you are in Hajj, and when you leave, you have to be 12 hours before your flight at the airport. You miss your flight, you stay a few days, finished. Especially when everyone is coming out of Hajj. It is a chaos. طيب. Some ulama, like Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, it is allowed if based on need and necessity. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, listen to what he said, because why I'm saying this, some brothers who go to Hajj, they take the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah, or they jump on website and the website says you can, without going back to the manat, to the reason, to what the Imam have said himself, and pay attention. وَأَمَّا الَّذِي لَا أَعْلَمُ فِيهِ نِزَاعًا. This is Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah saying. And what I know that there is no difference of opinion about it, أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهَا أَن تَطُوفَ مَعَ الْحَيْضِ. That she is not supposed to do tawaf while she is menstruating. إِذَا كَانَتْ قَادِرَ عَلَى الطَّوَافِ مَعَ الطُّهْرِ. If she is able to do it while she is in the state of purity. فَمَا أَعْلَمُ مُنَازِعًا أَنَّ ذَلِكَ يَحْرُمُ عَلَيْهَا وَتَأْثَمُ بِهِ. I do not know a difference of opinion that it is haram on her and she is sinning. So Ibn Taymiyyah allows it when, rahimahullah, huh? When it is time of necessity and need. As I said, her group is leaving, she's going to be left behind, no one to take her home, and then it's going to pose a problem on her. It's going to do what? Pose a problem on her, because she can't do tawaf al-ifadah. Tawaf al-ifadah is part of Hajj. You cannot, it's not one of the sunnah, no. It is one of the obligations of Hajj. It has to be done. It is an obligation of the obligations of Hajj. That's why she cannot leave it. Here he said only in the time that she needs to. There is a dalil that the ulama have gave, which is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, At-tawafu bil bayti salat. The tawaf in the bayt, around the Kaaba, is what? Salat. But there is talking in it, and eating and drinking is allowed in it. So you are performing a salat when you are doing tawaf. That's why some group of ulama will tell you that you need wudu for the tawaf, which is the majority of the ulama. They say you need wudu for the tawaf. Now, what do we understand? We understand that the majority have two main proofs. The first one, he said to Aisha radiallahu anha, do not do tawaf until you become pure. The second one, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, the tawaf is salat. This is the strong opinion. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, only if the time of need and necessity, because he said, it's not really a salat. So there is no way you could say it's condition of the tawaf to be on the state of purity. Why? Because it's not really a salat. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you're staying in the masjid is salat. And when you're waiting for the salat, you are in salat. But you don't have to be on the state of purity, do you? We're talking about minor purity. So he argued the opinion. Here he said to them, it is a condition if she is able to do it with tahara, meaning to plan the hajj properly. To know, for example, that this is when you usually menses start, to do the tawaf before the menses. Or to plan it that you stay extra day when you're not in the state of menses, so you can do the tawaf. To work around your hajj trip. That's Shaykh al-Islam is saying, clear that only in the time of need and necessity you can do. The correct opinion, Allahu A'lam, that she is not allowed to do the tawaf no matter what. Why? Because the hadith is clear by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "La tatufi bil bayt hatta tatuhuri." Do not perform tawaf around the house until you become pure. So, what does that mean? What do we do? We say what you need to do is, first, you take the fatwa of the leader of the group if you're going on Hajj. And you adhere to him and to what he says. A lot of people cause problem. They start calling 20 different sheikh. If you trust the sheikh that you're going to, why would you want to go in a group to Hajj that doesn't have a sheikh with them? Why would you want to be on a group that doesn't have a sheikh that you are sure that he is learned so he can direct you how to do Hajj? You're investing nearly $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 of your hard-earned money, halal money, that you work very hard and saved, and then you go with any group. Why would you want to do that? It is not logical. Some people do that. Ya Allah, it's Hajj. And they go with ignorant person. We hear, wallahi, stories beyond belief. Some of them don't sleep in Mina. They give him fatawi. No, go with the learned people. Be with the learned people so you can do your Hajj properly. So, some ulama, modern ulama, they said she can take pills to stop the bleeding. Some ulama have said she can take pill to stop the bleeding, and they said it is allowed to stop the bleeding. Now, if you are with the group and there is a trustworthy person, he chosen the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah out of necessity and need, then follow that opinion. Why? Because you are not a mujtahid, you are led by a leader, so you follow the leader if he is a learned person. Tayyib mafhum. Of course, the second opinion, yani, that we said, it is the opinion of Hamad bin Abi Sulaiman wa Mansur ibn al-Mu'tamir, and he's from the Tabi'een. Also some of the Ahnaf and some of the Malikiyah and Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim, and from the modern ones, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen. These are some of the ulama of the modern ulama who allowed the woman out of need to do tawaf whilst she is in the state of menses. As you see, it has some ground and it has some supporters from the ulama, but we still say our opinion, al-qawl al-rajih, the clear opinion and the preponderant opinion that she's not allowed to do tawaf while she is in the state of menses. The next issue that also causes another problem, waqira'atul Qur'an, reading the Qur'an. Another point that also the ulama differed about. In the Qur'an, of course, about reading the Qur'an, the dalil, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تقرأ الحائض ولا الجنب شيئا من القرآن. The حائض, the one on the state of menses, and الجنب, the one on major impurity because of, يعني الجنب, we have explained it, we don't have to repeat it, are not allowed to read anything from the Quran. طيب. Some ulama, they said, she is allowed to read the Qur'an. And I want you to distinguish between touching the Qur'an and reading the Qur'an. Touching the Qur'an is not allowed. Reading the Qur'an, this is where the ulama have differed in opinion about. The ulama who said that she is allowed to read the Qur'an, they weakened this hadith. And the ulama who said she is not allowed to read the Qur'an, this is their opinion. Pay attention. The first dalil they said, it is based on qiyas, analogy with the junub. The person on the state of janaba, as in the hadith said that, Aisha radiallahu anha, hadith Aisha radiallahu anha in Abu Dawood, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nothing used to stop him from reading the Qur'an except the janaba. Except the janaba. They said, by analogy, Hayd requires a ghusl, and the janaba requires a ghusl, that they take the same ruling. Then if janaba stopped the Prophet ﷺ from reading the Qur'an, then Hayd should stop from reading the Qur'an. Secondly, the hadith that we read, this is the second dalil, that لا يقرأ الحائد ولا الجنوب شيئا من القرآن. The menstruating woman and the person who is on the state of janaba does not read anything from the Qur'an. This is their adilla, this is their proofs that you're not allowed to read the Qur'an. The other group, they came back with other adillah. They said, your hadith is da'if, the second one that we read. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, all the ulama that we trust their opinion of hadith, yani al-muhaddithun, the ones who have the authority to say this is da'if and this is authentic, they have weakened this hadith. They have weakened this hadith. The second dalil, they said, that the basic principle it is allowed to read the Quran until you can prove that, we're not allowed to. And it's a great ibadah, like reading the Quran is such a great ibadah and so rewardful. We can't stop the women from performing this ibadah without a strong dalil. You need a really strong dalil to stop them from performing this great ibadah. And you are forbidding them from and preventing them from gaining so much reward by reading the Quran. As for the dalil, the first one I mentioned for the analogy, they said the analogy does not work. Why? Because the janabah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade from reading the Quran, it can be removed easily by a shower, by taking a bath. It can be removed by taking a bath. As for the janabah, it is not in her hand. It is what Allah has written on her. So she cannot have the ghusl to remove her haid. As you see, her haid is not in her hand. That's why it poses a hardship for her. See, this is their adillah. And Allahu A'lam, the heart turns towards that. She is allowed to read the Quran without touching the Quran. The next one, to touch the Quran. Of course, yani the dalil, لا يمس القرآن إلا طاهر. The Quran should not be touched except by طاهر, someone on purity. And Al-Imam Ahmad used it as a dalil, احتج به. Al-Hafiz bin Hajar رحمه الله, he said this hadith لا بأس به. It is the narration of it is accepted, لا بأس به. It's okay. And Al-Imam Ahmad, he used it as a dalil. So we say the basic principle, if you're not on the state of purity, and if you are on the state of menses, not to touch the Quran. Can we touch the Quran if it is on the iPhone or iPad? Now, Al-Barraq and Al-Fawzan, from the modern ulama, they said, yes, you can touch and read the Quran if it is on the iPhone and the iPod, even if you're not on the state of purity. They said, this is not a mushaf, it's a phone. So it does not take the ruling of a mushaf. And the wording that is written, it is not firm, yani it is not printed. So it is removed easily by turning off the phone. So it is not printed. Hence, it is not printed, it is not a mushaf. That means you can touch it, carry it, read it on the state of impurity that we mentioned. I am on the opinion that since you cannot open it in the toilet, that means it is similar to the mushaf, that it is best to be on wudu when you open them and touch them. As for the Quran in English, which is fully English, the woman is allowed to touch it. Of course, she's allowed to touch it and read it. What about the Quran that has some English translation? We say it is best to avoid touching it because it still has Quran in it. So she still needs to avoid it. Alhamdulillah, these days there is translated Quran that is being printed. Now, inshallah, this would suffice what we are asking for. The next one, وَاللُّبْثُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ, staying in a mosque. She's not allowed to stay in a mosque, as he said, rahimahullah. Now, the adilla for that, what is being narrated by Imam Muslim from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, بَيْنَمَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ, he said, whilst the Prophet Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in the masjid, فَقَالَ يَا عَائِشَ نَاوِلِينِ الثَّوْبِ, he said, oh Aisha, give me the thawb. فَقَالَتْ إِنِّي حَائِدٌ, he said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, I am on the state of menstruation, menses. فَقَالَ إِنَّ حَيْضَتَكِ لَيْسَتْ فِي يَدِكِ, he said to her, your hayda is not in your hand. فَنَاوَلَتْ, she gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Another dalil they have also, the a'imma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the time of Eid, he said to the woman, اعتزلوا مصلانا, stay away from our musalla. He said, stay away from our musalla. And another dalil also they have, لا أحل المسجد لحائض ولا جنب, I do not allow or make lawful the masjid for ha'id or someone on the state of janab. Now, why I'm mentioning all the adillah, not like everything we went through? Because these are matters of a great difference of opinion. And also there are important issues, because on them, a lot of things are based. He said, I do not allow or make lawful the masjid for a woman that is ha'id and junub. Now, the first dalil, which is your haida is not in your hand, some ulama who allow the woman to enter the masjid while she is in the state of menses, they said that he is saying to her, your haida is not in your hand, yani you're not bleeding from your hand. So they made the hadith to be the reason behind the hadith that she's going to dirty the masjid. They made the hadith to be that she is going to dirty the masjid with blood. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said to her, your haida is not in your hand. Yani you're not going to dirty the masjid. Is no blood going to drop from you on the floor? So this is how they interpreted the hadith. Fahimt. And some have interpreted the hadith, your haida is not in your hand. That means when you put your hand out, you're not entering with your body where that includes the place of menses. You understand the interpretation of the hadith. That means your hand is not the place of menses. When you're not entering with your body, which is the place of menses going to be. You understand the part here. Or some of them have said your haida is not in your hand. That means you have no control over your haida. I mean, go inside, there is no problem. So these are the interpretations. Now then, what is the hadith that is clear in meaning, that kills the debate, that gives us new meaning? The hadith of لا أحل المسجد لحائض ولا جنوب. That one would say, what about the hadith when the Prophet ﷺ said to them, stay away from from the musalla. They said, yes, this is meaning, stay away from our salat, yani don't pray with us, nor stand with us in the salat. You see the point. All of this. So we go back to the same hadith, which is a decisive hadith. The hadith, in its apparent, in its meaning, I do not allow the masjid, nor I make it lawful to, I would not make the masjid lawful to a ha'id or a junub. This hadith here where the ulama differed, and this hadith is a place of ijtihad also, whether it's authentic or not. Ibn Hazm and Al-Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah, they weakened the hadith. But Ahmad, he said, لا بأس به. And Ahmad, he is Ahmad bin Hanbal. Sufyan al-Thawri also said the same thing. Ibn al-Qattan also said, I'm mentioning some of the greatest ulama of hadith, also said, it is Hassan. Ibn Sayyid al-Nas also said, it is Hassan. So the hadith, it is used, wallahu a'lam, as a proof. Tayyib. And the understanding of Aisha radiallahu anha, she's not allowed to enter the masjid with her haid. She understood from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam already that she is not allowed to enter the masjid in her haid. We understand? So the correct opinion, wallahu a'lam, that a woman not allowed to enter the masjid with on the state of haid and menses. She is not allowed to enter the masjid in the state of menstruation or postnatal bleeding. Done? We understand it? See the khilaf where it really is. But when you have an issue where the majority of the ulama and the a'imma al-arba'a, the madhahib, on that opinion, and you have followed by a good group of Ahlul Hadith on that opinion, then inshallah this is the correct opinion that she's not allowed to enter the masjid. Now one would say, what about Islamic centers? Now Islamic centers, they do not take the ruling of a masjid. Lecture halls where she goes in and listen to a lecture, they do not take the ruling of a masjid. So she's not allowed to, as we said, staying in the mosque. Well, what of il farji? Having sexual intercourse. This is number 8. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيدِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and stay away from the women
whilst they are on the state of menses, and do not come near them until they become pure.
Taib, how much we are allowed to come near the wives? This show you how silly are those ones who say, we only take the Quran, we don't take the Sunnah. Those are kuffar, by the way. Those are kuffar, which is they called Al-Quraniyun. People who say, we only take the Quran, we don't take the Sunnah. I want to ask them this question. So when your wife, she's in the state of menses, what do you do with her? You stay. How much i'tazilu? I'tazilu mean to abandon and stay away. Yani, does he lock her up in the room? Or he never touches her hand? Or what is i'tazilu? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a general quote. But believe me, you see them, they do not i'tazilu nisa. Because these are people of whims and desires. That's why, because the sunnah destroys their whims and desires and gives a decisive ruling. That's why they do not want the decisive ruling. طيب. So, وَيَمْنَعُ, it does not, yani it doesn't allow you to have sexual intercourse. Of course, الْوَطْءُ فِي الْفَرْجِ, yani to have intercourse with the private parts. طيب, what is allowed? Allowed is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained as Aisha, yani in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that used to make her wear the izar, that means to cover between the navel up to the knee. And anything apart from that is for halal for the man to do with his wife. Now, what about between the thighs down to the knees? What's wrong with that? The ulama, they said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade for that because anything leads to haram is haram. The golden rule. Anything leads to haram is haram. Because that could lead the man to go into haram, that's why it is haram. So the man must not do with his wife sexual intercourse in the time of menses. طيب, what is the atonement for that? If he done that, how can he expiate this sin? In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani the hadith said, من أتى امرأته وهي حائض فليتصدق بدينار أو نصفه. Whomever sleeps with his wife while she is in the state of menses, let him give a sadaqah with dinar or half a dinar. I'm not going to go into why dinar and half a dinar, but this is what it is, the value of a dinar or half a dinar. Now, that doesn't mean he's not sinning. They say, okay, well, what is a dinar? I'll pay the dinar. I'm a rich man. I'll pay the dinar. Who cares? No, it doesn't mean you're not sinning. You are sinning, plus you need to expiate for that sin. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Another one here. وَيَمْنَعْ the Sunni divorce. سُنَّةَ الطَّلَاقِ. سُنَّةُ الطَّلَاقِ. What happens? The talaq is divided to two. Sunni and bid'i. Talaq. Sunni, it is done in the sunnah way, and bid'i, done in the wrong way, which is not according to the sharia. When is talaq is sunni? The talaq is sunni when you divorce your wife. You say to her, anti talaq, once. In the time of purity that you did not sleep with her in it. So, let's say she is in her purity and then you slept with her in that purity. You cannot give her divorce until she gets her menses and then becomes clean. This is when you can give her the divorce. So at-talaq al-bid'i is to give the divorce to the wife once she is in the state of menses or she is in the state of purity that you have had intercourse with her in that state of purity. That becomes talaq bid'i. Becomes what? Talaq bid'i. Now, the dalil, Bukhari and Muslim narrated that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he has divorced his wife while she is in the state of hayd. فَسَأَلَ عُمَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. His father asked the Prophet, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, about that. فَقَالَ مُرْهُ فَلْيُرَاجِعْهَا. Before that, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم showed displeasure for what Ibn Umar has done. طيب. And then he said, مُرْهُ فَلْيُرَاجِعْهَا. Order him to take her back. ثُمَّ لْيُمْسِكْهَا حَتَّى تَطْهُرْ. And then he will hold her until she falls into state of purity. ثُمَّ طَحِيدْ. And then she becomes in a state of haid. Thumma tathur, then until she becomes in the state of purity. Thumma in sha'a amsakaha, then if he wants he can keep her. Wa in sha'a talaq qabla an yamas, and if he wants to he can divorce before he mas, which is having a sexual intercourse. فَتِلْكَ الْعِدَّةُ الَّتِي أَمَرَ اللَّهُ أَن يُطَلَّقَ لَهَا النِّسَاءُ. This is the iddah that Allah ordered to give talaq for the women in it. And in another riwayah for the Bukhari, he said, فَحُسِبَتْ عَلَيَّ بِتَطْلِيقَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. It was counted on me, Ibn Umar said, it was counted on me atatliqah. That means the talaq and the state of menses falls or not? Falls. Counted or not?
Yes.
Counted. Because the ulama, on two opinions, some ulama will tell you, at-talaq al-bid'i does not fall. No, the talaq al-bid'i falls according to the majority, vast majority of the ulama. Of course, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has an opinion. He said, because it is bid'a, it is rejected. But we're not here to debate opinions. We debate that in the chapter of divorce. But the correct opinion, that it falls. It falls. So the woman, when she's in the state of menses, a man is not allowed to divorce his wife. It is haram. He is sinning. وَالْإِعْتِدَادُ بِالْأَشْهُرِ, and to wait the waiting period, عِدَّة, by months. طيب, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ, and the divorced women, they should withhold themselves three قُرُوءٍ. Three periods, three blood periods, three menstrual cycles. طيب. So what does it mean? She's not allowed to wait 3 months. Some of them think the divorced woman, her waiting period is how long? 3 months. No, it's not 3 months. It's three menstrual cycles. Because the three menstrual cycles, they can take 5 months. Some women get them once every 6 weeks. True or not? Or could be a little bit less than 3 months. True or not? And sometimes can take 2 years. Because some of them get their menses once every 4 or 5 months. I had cases of divorce like that. So there is a difference between a menses and a month. So it is haram. She's not allowed to count her waiting period with months. If we live to do the chapter of iddah, we'll do that inshallah. وَيُوجِبُ الْغُسْلَ, and it necessitates, obligates the major ritual purification, ghusl. يُوجِبْ أَيْشْ الْغُسْل. She has to then do ghusl. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذًا فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَ فَآتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. They ask you about the menses, say it is haram, stay away from the women in the mahid, and do not come near them until they become pure. When they purify themselves, this is the second one, means what? They ghusl, they do the ghusl, then sleep with them from min haythu amarakum Allah, from the place where Allah ordered you. Where did Allah ordered you? From the front. Nisa'ukum harthun lakum fa'tu harthakum anna shi'tum. Your wives are harth, a place. Where is the harth? Place of cultivation where you plant your seed. Tayyib, fa'tu harthakum, sleep with your harth in any position that you like. So what does it mean? You can change your position, but there is only one entry place. That refutes the Juhal, al-Shia, who say there is another place. Wal-Iyadhu Billah, which is homosexuality. You understand my point? That there is a major sin, wal-Iyadhu Billah. Tayyib? Al-Shudhudh, wal-Iyadhu Billah. That is enough for proofs in the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, فَإِذَا تَطَهَرْنَا, when they purify themselves, yani after they have their bath, فَأْتُوهُنَّ, then sleep with them, حَيْ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ. So فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ, from the place where Allah ordered you, which is the front part. And this is something with a consensus amongst the ulama. وَيُوجِبُ الْبُلُوغِ He said, maturity, يعني it necessitates, obligates maturity, بلوغ. طيب. What is بلوغ? يعني once the girl reaches, she has her menses, she becomes a بالغة. That's it. The دليل, يعني it is a sign from the signs of maturity, بلوغ. والدليل and the proof قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يقبل الله صلاة حائض إلا بخمار collected by Ahmad Allah does not accept the prayer of a حائض without a خمار without the dress يعني the خمار which is like the correct prayer dress the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he called it what حائض that means the covering on her starts when she reaches menses. طيب. So, at takleef, the obligations happen on the girl when she reaches the state of menses. And also here he said, and to do one's iddah according to her menstrual cycles. وَالْاَعْتِدَادُ بِهِ It necessitates, obligates to do one's iddah according to her menstrual cycle. So, she do her iddah according to what? Menstrual cycle, as we spoke about earlier. Now, what is the iddah? The iddah from the divorce. طيب.
طيب, we'll stop at this. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Any questions, يا شباب?
She doesn't enter. The husband takes the lesson for her. Huh? The husband takes the lesson for her.
Because you know the bellman.
The husband takes the lesson for her. خلاص. يعني that's the ruling. يعني if the Sahabiyat were forbidden from entering while the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was giving lesson. يعني نعم. Listening, good question. What about the woman who's on the state of menses? Can she listen to the Quran? Naam, she can listen to the Quran. There is no problem listening to the Quran. Nasim.
I have two questions. First one, where is the line drawn, or is there a line between menses and postnatal bleeding, or bleeding in general from the area?
No, menses and postnatal, another good question. Is there a difference in fiqh ruling between menses and postnatal bleeding?
No.
There is no difference. You will find the only the difference that about the maximum of the postnatal bleeding, how long, which is we'll talk about it, inshallah in the lessons to come, while the menses we'll talk about what is the maximum. But the menses and the postnatal bleeding take the same ruling in all those rulings that we read, except the iddah, because the iddah is not counted by postnatal bleeding. The iddah of the pregnant, it is when she gives birth. Muhammad. Jazakallah. Nasim.
I know a lot of women, when they're in their menses, they can't read the Quran. Like in terms of, sorry, they can't touch the Quran, but they get a child, for example, to turn the pages. Can they, this way the read and recite are different. She can't, she can recite, and she can't touch. In between, is she allowed to read with her eyes? The
That's what we said, she's allowed to read.
She's allowed to read, yeah, I mean, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, she just can't.
You said like in iPhone Quran, where like it's not allowed. But with the computer, we have mouse and cursor. So it has the same ruling for iPhone, or is it different? Like using gloves or someone helping you to turn the pages.
iPhone is a screen touch. Yeah.
Computer has mouse and cursor, so it's not directly.
Inshallah, that is okay. So.
Like a masjid which has parking as well, like Green Valley Mosque.
Mm.
Like it has parking inside as well. And in the Eid and the Jummah, they pray there as well. So if in this situation, if you park your car, like in the parking area.
No.
And with the, so
if now, if they're praying outside and reaches the khalas, this is part of the masjid, finished.
Okay, so
no, you can't.
Any other question?